Get your Bibles out this evening, and I want you to turn to the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter number 20. Tonight is lesson number 22 on the subject of separation. Someone asked the other day how long we might be talking about this, and I'm sure at least another dozen weeks I would expect. Leviticus chapter 20, and again, this is lesson number 22. If you look right at me for a second, I'll give you the title of the lesson tonight. It's called Separation and Nakedness. Nakedness. We're going to find out what the Bible says about that subject this evening. So, Leviticus chapter 20, find verse 11, and then stand with me, if you would, please. Everyone standing. Leviticus chapter 20. I'm going to begin reading at verse number 11, and we're going to go through verse number 21. And you'll notice over and over again, the subject of tonight is mentioned, that term naked or nakedness. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 11. The Bible says, "And the man that lieth with his father's wife hath uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And if a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have wrought confusion. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man take a wife and her mother, it is wickedness. They shall be burnt with fire, both he and they, that there be no wickedness among you. And if a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, and he shall slay the beast. If a woman approach unto any beast and lie down thereto, thou shalt kill the woman and the beast. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man shall take his sister, his father's daughter, or his mother's daughter, and see her nakedness, and she see his nakedness, it is a wicked thing. And they shall be cut off in the sight of their people. He hath uncovered his sister's nakedness. He shall bear his iniquity. If a man shall lie with a woman having her sickness and shall uncover her nakedness, he hath discovered her fountain, and she hath uncovered the fountain of her blood, and both of them shall be cut off from among their people. And thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, nor of thy father's sister, for he uncovereth his near kin, they shall bear their iniquity. And if a man shall lie with his uncle's wife, he hath uncovered his uncle's nakedness. They shall bear their sin, they shall die childless." And then verse 21 is the last verse. "If a man shall take his brother's wife, it is an unclean thing. He hath uncovered his brother's nakedness, and they shall be childless." And let's pray. Father, help us tonight to believe the Bible. Help us tonight to understand that what the world says, if it's ever different than what you say, that you're right and the world's wrong. So tonight, Holy Spirit of God, help us all to grow in our understanding of the subject of separation and the subject of the night. Might you just get involved and help me as I teach, help me to make it clear. Might I support what I say with the Scripture. And then, Father, speak to our hearts and change our lives. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been talking about separation for many, many weeks now, and tonight we're going to talk about how we should separate from the sin of nakedness ourselves, and then we should be very careful not to be around the sin or the impropriety of nakedness. In other words, it doesn't necessarily be that I'm guilty of it, but I should stay away from it so that I don't become a partaker. Now, if you were listening to what was read there in Leviticus chapter 20, in verse number 11, nakedness, the word is used, and then there it is associated with adultery, and as a result, there was a death that occurred. Then in verse number 17, again, the word nakedness is found, and the Bible says it one of the descriptions attached to it is it's called a wicked thing. And then it talks about, as a result of that, someone would be cut off. Now, what that meant would would be that they would not be blessed and they would be cut off or distanced from certain people, and I think distanced from the blessing of God. In verse number 18, you see the word nakedness again. Then it talks about if you were involved in what's taking place in verse 18 that had to do with nakedness, it said that you would bear the iniquity of it. In other words, it's talking about bearing the scorn or the humiliation that would go along with it. Then when you get to verse number 19, it used the word nakedness again. And then it was talking about as a result in that situation that a woman then would not bear a child. And really it was saying that your participation in that sin where nakedness was attached, there would be a lack of productivity. You would be an unproductive person. Then in verse number 20, the word nakedness is used again, and then it is associated and the word sin is used. Now, in this passage, there's a lot of nasty, vile sin being discussed. In what we read, it's talking about incest. It's talking about bestiality. It's talking about sodomy and more. A lot of vile, nasty sins are being covered. And notice the word used most often with all of those sexual improprieties is the word nakedness, over and over again. Now, I believe that everybody here, young people and teenagers, I expect you to behave yourself in a mature fashion tonight. Tonight's not a good night to be snickering and giggling. But I need to teach you something, and I'll do it to the best of my ability in a very appropriate way. But you don't hear people say much about the sin of people being improperly clothed, and our world, nakedness is everywhere out there anymore. And I think as a church, and I think as Christians, we need to learn what the Bible says about it. Now, if tonight I say something that you disagree with, and it's my opinion, I apologize. But if I tell you something tonight and it's in the Bible and you disagree with it, I'm very sorry. I can't apologize for that. You'll just have to take it up with God. Why do old-time Christians and why do old-time Baptists have an approach to apparel for both men and women? And why would a pastor such as myself, and I think any pastor that's worth his weight in salt, would stand up and say something about the subject of nakedness being wrong? Why would they do that? It is, first of all, it is because we are to preach the whole counsel of God. We're to tell you what God says about it. I would speculate there's a handful of people in this room who have never heard a Bible lesson on the subject of nakedness. Because nobody teaches on it much. And I'm going to apologize to you. I'm sorry that you've not already heard it. I wish you would have. For some of you, if it's a little bit of a surprise to you, that to me is sad. And I'm talking about, I imagine there are people that are 40 and 50 years of age that have never heard what the Bible says about the subject of nakedness. And that's a sad thing. And again, I say to you, I'm so sorry that this much of your life has passed and you never learned what God says about the subject of nakedness. And I think this, I really would say, pastors across the country need to get with it, and they need it. Doesn't matter what our society believes; it matters what God says, and I think it's a big deal. I think our country is being destroyed morally, and part of the reason is because preachers don't tell people what the Bible says about it. And you know, if people don't have the knowledge they need from the Bible to protect themselves and to live right, they'll be destroyed. And so I think that our country's being destroyed because they have a lack of knowledge in regard to what the Bible says about certain subjects, one of which is nakedness. For instance, Hosea chapter 4, verse number 6 says this, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." Huh. So the Bible says God's people self-destruct, or God's people find themselves destroyed because they have a lack of knowledge. So, I want to teach you tonight some things about the subject of nakedness. And this is a part of our separation series. First of all, and you know, all my teaching, it's quite simple. You won't have a hard time following it. But let me say, I'm going to answer a question. Let me say this. Number one, does God approve of nakedness? Does God approve of nakedness? Now, first of all, let me give you 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 16. It says this, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Don't forget this, folks. One of the reasons God's interested in your body and this subject of nakedness is that your body is the temple of God. He lives inside you. The God that lives inside you does have the interest in the vessel in which you're carting him around. And so, the Bible reminds us that we are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God does live within us. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 20, it says that we are bought with a price. Therefore, we should glorify God in our body. You and I ought to do whatever would glorify God with our body. Now, we won't go to it, but if we went to Revelation chapter 3, verse number 18, the Bible uses this term, or actually, it speaks of the shame of thy nakedness. Now, if God says there is shame in nakedness, I'm going to guess then that God is definitely not in approval that you shouldn't allow yourself to be naked when God lives inside you. That's not a good representative of the holiness of God. See, our bodies are to be holy. Our bodies are to be pure. Our bodies are to be clean, both physically and spiritually. I think the body is to be respected. I think the body is to be clothed so that you are dressed modestly. And a lot of people, when you talk about modest apparel when you hear that term, they immediately think it's talking to a woman. I'm sorry. I think the Bible teaches both men and women are to be modest in their apparel. You know, a woman could dress in a suggestive, inappropriate way, but so could a man. So, number one, does God approve of nakedness? Very clearly, the Bible says that nakedness brings shame, and that's throughout the Bible. Number two, the Bible in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse number 15, it talks about and teaches us against drunkenness, which then leads to nakedness. I'm going to read to you from Habakkuk 2:15, and the Bible says this, "Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor to drink, that putteth thy bottle to him, and maketh him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness." So here God is warning. He's warning that liquor will produce nakedness. Now, the words used there in Habakkuk 2:15, it says, "Woe unto him." God is warning, number one, you shouldn't get somebody drunk so you can get their clothes off of them. So, in the world, a man will try to get a woman drunk so that he can get her clothes off of her. God said, "Woe unto you." You know, did you know that God's not stupid? Do you know that God knows every trick of every man? And I suppose there are women that try to get men drunk because they want to have an act of immorality with them. But the Bible says, "Woe unto them." And let me warn everybody in here. Some of you young people that you don't know, you've grown up in a pretty pure situation. It only takes one night for you to go to one party and somebody gets you drunk and you'll lose your virginity or you'll lose your purity. You won't even see it coming and you won't even see it going. Because the liquor will steal away your common sense and it'll steal away your moral integrity. It loosens your moral anchor. In the Bible, it says, woe unto them. And then it talks about, and it's talking about the seduction. But alcohol has become a part of the seduction to get someone to take their clothes off. It talks about looking on their nakedness. Now, God here, He first of all is talking about somebody that's looking at nakedness. And He says, you shouldn't be doing that. There's a woe upon that. Then it's talking about the one that is taking their clothes off and revealing their nakedness. And there is a woe. God's saying, it's a very harsh, it's a stop. It's a don't do that. It's a warning from God. Now, in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 16, it goes on. Let me read verse 15 to you again. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor to drink, that puttest thy bottle to him, and maketh him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Thou art filled with shame. So God said, that's shame. It's shame for you to try to be seductive using alcohol. It's shame for you to look on that nakedness, and it's a shame for you to have been the naked one. Now, so nakedness leads to immorality with the body. Nakedness leads to sin in the mind, and so we need to be very careful. So God calls it shame, and then God said, don't let someone with alcohol, and I could throw in here, I can talk about all sorts of different drugs. There's all sorts of drugs. You get high, and it lowers your personal character, and you'll make mistakes. And anybody in here that's ever been around alcohol and you've been involved with alcohol or drugs, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I don't have to describe it. Young people, if you don't know it, you might want to take the word of somebody that does. It will lower your self-restraint. It'll cause you to do things you would have never done before. Number three, God was against the nakedness that took place in the story that took place on Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai. Exodus chapter 32. If you want to take your Bible and turn there real quick, you certainly may. Turn quickly to Exodus chapter 32. So point number three is God was against the nakedness that was on Mount Sinai. Exodus chapter number 32. And I'm going to start reading at verse number 22. And we're going to read three, four verses here. Exodus 32, starting with verse number 22, the Bible says this, and Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief, for they said unto me, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me, and I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. Oh, goodness. And Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. We're going to stop right there. Let me tell you what's happening here. Moses had gone up on Mount Sinai, and he was there to get the commandments from God. Aaron, his assistant, and God's people began to liberalize in the absence of the man of God. And I really do believe one of the reasons why we have as many problems in America today is the absence of men of God that will go ahead and tell the truth. Moses wasn't doing anything wrong, but there was the absence of Moses, and Aaron didn't have the strength to lead the people. And now they're liberalizing, and they're doing things they shouldn't do. And the Bible here, if you read the whole story in Exodus 32, they had stripped down. The Bible talks about they were naked, they were singing, they were dancing. That means there was the wrong kind of music, and that they had stripped down and they were naked. And now in Exodus chapter 32, if you still have your Bible open there, look at verse number 26. And the Bible says in verse number 26, it says, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. Now, here's what happened. So Moses been up on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments. The Bible says he was actually coming down off the mountain, and he thought he heard the sound of war. Wasn't the sound of war. It was the bad music. It was the partying. It was the nakedness and the dancing that was going on. So Moses gets back, and he calls Aaron on the carpet, and Aaron said, well, you know, the people, this is what they wanted to do, and I told them, you know, give me your gold, and they gave me their gold, and I put it in the fire, and out popped a calf, and it was a golden calf. And you say, why is he talking that way? He might have been in the communion wine here, buddy. I don't know what caused Aaron to say such a stupid thing, but he was a part of the mess. And I'll tell you this also, you can go to churches where, you know, the pastor, he didn't mind exposing nakedness. It doesn't bother him. Maybe he likes to look at it. That's why he lets it go without being corrected. But, boy, from what I can tell, Aaron has made a mistake here. And in verse number 26, Moses basically says, stop the music. Party's over. He said, who is on the Lord's side? So Moses actually saying, whose side are you on here? Now, what were they doing? Well, they had a golden calf. They had bad music. They had nakedness. And Moses is actually saying, whose side are you on? Who do you serve? Yeah, so if some preacher gets up and says, you're acting like the devil, I'm going to guess he might have picked it up from Moses. Because Moses, what were the sides? What side could he be talking about? Who's on the Lord's side? Well, what's the other side? From what I remember, there's the devil and there's the Lord. There's no purgatory side. There's no halfway in between. Who's on the Lord's side? Because of that, and nakedness was a part of it. Do you understand that as a result of that day's wickedness, 3,000 people died? And I think they knew better. And let me say this also, you get the wrong kind of music. I think who knows, but that there was not what you call the striptease taking place at that time, because the people were ripping their clothes off and dancing. And so, you know, these were God's people. They were waiting on Moses to come down off the mountain with the commandments of God. He said, people can get pretty backslidden, but nakedness is a part of it. God says nakedness is a shame. God said you better be careful, because you get involved in alcohol and you get involved in drugs, nakedness will be attached to it, because it'll lower your moral integrity. And then God said, hey, look, if it could happen while Moses is out getting the commandments from God and all those people at the foot of Mount Sinai, you understand two things happening here. One, a guy's often getting the tablets of the Ten Commandments from God to bring it down, and the other batch are down there partying, rock and rolling, stripping their clothes off and acting like a bunch of idiots. And the gold calf jumped out of the fire while they were high. Number four, I think that there was some, well, I think God was against the nakedness of Peter when Peter was out fishing and had to clothe himself before swimming to shore. We just talked about this last Sunday in Sunday school. In John chapter 21, and I'm going to turn to it here, in John 21. In John 21, verse number 7, the Bible says this, therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. Now, here's the story. Jesus had been crucified and he had risen from the grave. Peter, he took the disciples and they went fishing. They were out fishing and Jesus showed up on the shore. And Jesus began to quiz Peter and the men on the boat. And some of them recognized it was Jesus right away. And when Jesus asked them, said, hey, you guys catching anything? And they weren't catching anything. And in the process, he tells them how to catch the fish. But the Bible says that when Peter realized who this was, when he realized it was Jesus, he was going to swim to shore. But he had to do something before he jumped in the water. You say, what? He had to put his clothes back on. Because he was fishing naked. Doesn't sound like a good idea to me at all. But he was fishing naked. To me, it is very obvious that Peter knew the lack of clothing was wrong. And he was at the water. Somehow people think if you get by a big body of water, it's okay to be naked. Peter did. Peter didn't want Jesus to seem naked because he knew better. He was right to be embarrassed over this nakedness. He was right to be ashamed of it. He knew very well that the lack of clothing was displeasing to the Lord, and he knew before he got to shore, he better get some clothes on because it would be humiliating to step up on that bank without being clothed properly. You say, do you think that he was totally in the buff? No, probably not. It was probably even the clothes that he did have on was still considered nakedness. He had his swimming trunks on that didn't cover him properly. That'd be my guess, because I doubt that Peter was out there totally unclothed. And yet, those of you that will disagree with me at the end of the night, I want you to take your Bible and I want you to do a study on this and figure it out for yourself. So Peter probably was not totally unclothed. It is what he had on was still not adequate to be in public. Let's go on. So we see nakedness. It was there on Mount Sinai. We see nakedness on this boat. Now, I think God was against the nakedness that the maniac of Gadara was guilty of. Luke chapter 8, I'm going to read to you some scripture here. This is, again, the story of the maniac of Gadara. Luke chapter 8, starting with verse number 27, the Bible says this: When he went forth to the land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oft times it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out of out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. And then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And that herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Here's the story of the maniac of Gadara. I think you know the story. He was a wild man running in the tombs, howling at the moon, frothing at the mouth, dirty. And the Bible says that he was running unclothed. Well, he meets Jesus and he gets saved. Once he got saved, the Bible says this: after he got saved, he was suddenly sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Okay? Now, if it said that he was running around unclothed, and it makes it very clear he put his clothes on after he got saved, and that's what some of you just need to do. Now that you're saved, you need to keep yourself clothed properly, because that's what saved people do. That's what happened to this guy. Now, he wasn't in his right mind. Well, maybe that's your problem. He was demon possessed. He was running naked because he was demon possessed. But when he got saved, he got it together in his head. He got it together with his body. And he was setting like a sensible person to serve Jesus. Now I realize a lot of people miss what's taking place there, but you went from nakedness to proper clothing because of salvation. You see Peter, a backslidden Christian, that had to get his clothes on to be in the presence of Jesus. And I don't think Jesus just wanted him to put his clothes on because Jesus was standing there. He should have had his clothes on when Jesus wasn't standing there. So we're not trying to get you just to do right when you're at church. Habakkuk 2:15 says you better watch out because the alcohol and the drugs will cause you to take your clothes off. There's a song out there that it's the lyrics, I read them the other day. Tequila makes your clothes fall off. And some of you partied, you know exactly what I'm talking about. God was against the nakedness that had taken place on Mount Sinai. Now, the issue is then, what's nakedness? We can see, I could give you illustration after illustration in the Bible, but what is nakedness then? Take your Bibles and I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter number 47. Boy, it is really quiet in here tonight. Isaiah chapter number 47, if you will, I want you to find verse number 1. Isaiah chapter 47, I want you to find verse number 1. Isaiah 47, 1. First, I want you to find Isaiah. Then I want you to find chapter 47. Everybody look at me for just a second. I want you to answer a question. Do you believe the Bible's God's Word?
Amen.
Do you believe what God says is true?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Isaiah 47, starting with verse number 1, it says, "Come down and set in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon." Daughter, is that a man or a woman? It's a woman, okay. "Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon, set on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstone and grind meal, uncover thy locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers, thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Yea, thy shame shall be seen." Here it talks about the uncovering of the thigh as being nakedness. That's why, ladies, we say to you, cover your thigh with your skirt. Because to reveal the thigh is, according to the Bible, I didn't write it. Does yours say that too? Does yours say that in verse number 3, "Thy nakedness shall be uncovered"? And it just talked about the uncovering of the thigh. Yours say that? I wonder who put that in there. Who printed your Bible? You think the publishers put that in there? Mine, Holman. I wonder if Holman Press put that in there. I'm just going to go ahead and give God credit for it. So evidently God, not me, but God said, nakedness is the uncovering of the thigh. And it also says there, "Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen." God said you ought to be ashamed of the showing of the thigh. So let me help you, and I'll get to this in a little while. And don't worry, this isn't going to get a whole lot more painful. It's not wrong for a young man to wear shorts. But you ought to make sure your thigh's covered if you're going to. Why? Just because God said you shouldn't be running around naked. So you thought nakedness meant you had to be totally unclothed. That's not exactly what the Bible teaches. Now, I want you to turn, if you will, go to Exodus chapter 28, verse number 42. Exodus 28, verse number 42. In Exodus chapter 28, verse number 42, we're going to see God telling a man to be careful not to reveal his nakedness. Exodus 28, 42, it says, "And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. From the loins, even unto the thigh, they shall reach." So we've seen that in Isaiah chapter 47, it talks about the virgin daughter, and there is a commandment that we should not show our nakedness as a lady. Now, it's talking about a man, and it's telling that the loins and the thigh is to be covered, and the breeches were created for a man to cover that part of his body. So that means, according to the never-changing, always true, forever settled, perfect, inspired, infallible Word of God, you're not to uncover your thighs in public to people. And that's in the Bible. That means a bathing suit that uncovers the thigh would not be right. A miniskirt that uncovered the thigh would not be right. A slit above the knee that would then reveal the thigh. I mean, that's a thigh, right? So I'd be careful with that. 1 Corinthians 6:20 talks about that our body was bought with a price. I want to tell you something else, and I'm not going to take a whole lot more time on it. I'm going to cover a couple of other things, but let me tell you this. In Revelation chapter 1, verse number 13, well, hey, do this. Just take your Bible and turn to Revelation 1:13. I want to show you something real quick. In Revelation chapter 1, verse number 13, who's your ultimate example? It's Jesus. And there's going to be a description here of Jesus. It says in Revelation 1:13, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. I want you to understand, whoever that is, and I think that's Jesus, is talking about his paps being covered. Adults, you understand what a pap is? It's the chest area. And this, Jesus wasn't running around with his shirt off all the time in front of people. I wonder how you'd all feel if you got to heaven and seen Jesus in spandex short shorts and no shirt on. Would you have a lot of respect for him? You say, that's ridiculous. Well, why would it be wrong? If it's okay for you, it's surely it's okay for everyone else. Or if it's, do you believe the Bible though? Then, if you took the time and you wanted to look it up, and you don't have to, you can look in Revelation chapter 15, verse number 6. It also talks about angels there, and those angels had their chest area covered. One time I was trying to explain to somebody, the Bible's really clear, from the abdomen area down to the knee, that's the area that is to be covered on both men and women. They said, well, does that mean that we are allowed to go topless? I said, no, according to the Bible, the paps are to be covered. That's why you shouldn't reveal your bosom. Okay, well, all right. Now, number 7. Men and women should guard against nakedness. We should just guard against it. Did you hear the verse there in Exodus chapter 28, verse number 42? Let me read it to you again. It says, and thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness, from the loins even unto the thigh they shall reach. So this is instruction given to a man. In this case, it was given to the high priest. The high priest always in the Bible was a man. The loin area, it's really in the upper region of the abdomen, including the reproductive area. The thigh, it's from hip to knee. And so, your loins and your thigh is not to be revealed. And in Isaiah 47, verse number 3, it's made very clear that a lady is to abide by the very same thing. Both men and women are to function modestly in church, in the community. Now, I'm going to show you just a couple other real quick things, and you're about on overload now. So, number 8, one's nakedness should only be seen by their spouse, I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 4, if you will. Hebrews 13:4. You still believe the Bible?
Yes, sir.
Hebrews 13:4. The Bible says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Now, here God is talking about marriage between a man and a woman. He said that's an honorable thing. Now, I'm going to read a verse to you, and I don't want you to turn to it. I just want to read a verse to you, and I'm going to read part of it, and then I'm going to explain part of it. In Proverbs chapter 5, verse 18 and 19, it says, let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as a loving hind and a pleasant roe. The last part of that verse then says that a man should enjoy his wife's body. I'm not going to read it out loud right now. I'm afraid of some of the immaturities in the room, but the Bible's pretty clear that the revealing of the private parts of the body, it's okay for a husband to see his wife, and it's okay for a wife to see her husband, but it's not okay for everybody else to see your wife or you to see everybody else's wife. And that's one of the reasons why pornography is wrong. That's one of the reasons why the revealing of the body is wrong. Now, had a guy, I taught this somewhere, and a man, he said to me, well, in Genesis chapter 2, the Bible said Adam and Eve were naked and they were not ashamed. I said, they were married. You don't have to be ashamed when you're married. He said, oh. And that's a part of the live free, pick your own morality. God gave me the body, I'm going to show it off. That's not what the Bible teaches. It's not what the Bible teaches at all. The Bible teaches modesty. The Bible teaches propriety with your body. So you're not to show off your bosom. You're to keep yourself covered from the abdomen down to the knee. You're not to show that off. And on a woman, the thigh is a part of the sensual part of her body. So now, I'm going to review a little, and then I'm going to make just a statement or two, and then the torture will be over. God speaks of shame when it comes to this subject of nakedness. Secondly, Habakkuk 2:15 teaches that you better be extra careful around drugs and alcohol, because it lowers your resistance and you're more apt to take your clothes off. God was against the nakedness that took place on Mount Sinai. God was against the nakedness of Peter, and Peter knew that. God was against the nakedness of the maniac of Gadara, but for some reason, he had a reason to be acting that way. He was whacked out. But when he got saved, he said, I need to change, and he did. What is nakedness? According to the Bible, it is the uncovering of the thigh for the woman or for the man. The Bible teaches that the paps should be kept covered. And there's a reason for that. I think everyone in here, you have a baby and you want to feed that baby naturally. No problem with that. But you make sure it's kept private. That shouldn't be shown off to everybody. Why? In the Bible, the paps were kept covered. So, both men and women should guard in regard to nakedness. It's not wrong, and that's point number 8, it's not wrong that the husband see the wife or the wife see the husband. So, I'm just going to make a couple general statements. Did you know there's nothing wrong with swimming? Swimming's a great activity. Matter of fact, I think swimming is a very, very good, fantastic exercise. There's something wrong with nakedness, though. So if you're going to do it, you shouldn't be naked while you do it. So I wouldn't go out there without anything on. I'm sorry, you're back to your definition of nakedness. You need to get back to God's definition of nakedness. Brother Elswick, you could let the teenagers in our youth department go swimming. But they won't be naked while they do it. So people, you're a spoil sport. I'm just a Bible thumper, that's all. Okay, sorry. Nakedness is not determined by the world, it's determined by the Bible. So I would recommend that we're careful in two ways. Don't you be naked. And then a couple weeks ago I taught a lesson on guarding your eyes. God, if you'll look through the scripture, folks, you'll find out he's on you as an individual not to be naked. And then secondly, he does not want you looking at nakedness. And boy, is it out there everywhere. All right. We're done. I hope, and I told you this earlier, if you say, I just disagree, I would love for you to do a Bible study. Matter of fact, I want you to prove me wrong. Do your Bible study. You show me how what you do is right according to the Bible. Prove it. The problem with Christians is we want to do what we want to do. Or we want to do what the world finds acceptable. Hey, and I'm not mad at anybody. I don't have a bone to pick with anybody. And I've been teaching this all my ministry. I've been teaching it for a long, long time. And the great thing is, didn't have to change a thing. It's still in the Bible. It's still in there. You say, well, you living like that, are you going to have any fun in life? God's kind of fun, sure. Sure. But if you research and you look at what God says about nakedness, it always ends in tragedy. It virtually causes grief after grief after grief after grief. And I'm going to promise you, when you get to heaven, everyone will be properly, modestly clothed. It's a for sure thing, because heaven's holy. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight, you've never been saved, we welcome you to the Savior. If you're here tonight and you heard something for the first time, please don't get angry at the... I'm just the postman. I'm the delivery boy. Go ahead and study in the Bible. Find out. Find out for yourself. But I think you're going to find that God speaks of this subject. He's not trying to hurt anybody, but He tries to keep His people clean, tries to keep them different. Who here tonight would say, Pastor, I've been challenged. I've been challenged. I've learned some things. I think there are people here that would say, I've never heard anything like this before. I've never been taught anything like this. I've never seen it in the Bible. It's in there. It's in your Bible just like it's in mine. It's been in there all along. Modesty is important for both men and women. So, who here tonight would say, I've been challenged, I've learned something, or maybe you'd say, I've been reminded of some things. I know, but I've been reminded of them. Who could raise your hand and let God see your hand this evening and say, yeah, I've learned some things. I've been challenged. It's maybe new to me. God bless you. You put those hands down. We're going to have a brief time, an altar call. If you need maybe a moment with the Lord, you come and let God deal with your heart. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. You need to come to the altar, you may. Remember, somehow the world decides where our morality should be, where our standards should be, where our stance should be. Now, I don't think the world's always wrong about some of their stances, but God's always right. He is always 100% right. And if God describes propriety in regard to the body, then that's the propriety that you and I would want to cling to. That will help some of you, because some of you ladies say, well, why would we wear our skirt down to our knee? Because it covers the thigh. It helps you know why I would make statements like, ladies, be careful when you're working around the church. Don't let your top fall open. People should not see that part of your body. Keep yourself modest. Keep yourself covered. God created that, and that as an intimate time between a husband and wife. God intended for that, for the husband and wife, but not for the whole world to see. And for the religious liberal that says, well, God gave me my body and I'm not ashamed of it. Nobody's telling you to be ashamed of your body. God is just telling you you should be ashamed if you're showing it to everybody except for the person for whom it was created. That's all.